everybody. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good here in the bunker, all hunkered down, and things going as per expected, I guess.
Well, that's good. We're all hunkered down here, and since last week, we officially went into what they want to call shelter in place, but because I'm in an office all by myself, and technically media, I can be in the office. There's no one here, so we are practicing the ultimate social distancing, so I think that's a good thing. We're doing a live show again. This time we didn't announce it. We'll see how many people show up and watch us while we're doing this. And maybe if we get enough over the next 30 minutes, we'll have some time for some Q&A at the end. But hey, we've got some news today, some best practices. We've got some blueberry news as well. We've got an interview with Michael Herron from Mikey Pod, and of course, some support questions. How many are we down still, Mike, on interviews? Do we need a few more?
Oh, yeah. We could always use a few more. I've got one scheduled for tomorrow, actually. So I'll have one for next week, but we need some more.
All right. So if you want to appear, and many of you are at home, so if you want to appear on the Podcast Insider, we can have you come right up and be on with us, and we'll get that in the can, and you'll be in the show relatively soon. Well, let's talk about the news. Google Podcasts pulled a fast one. They've got an app now in iOS.
Yeah, and it's pretty good, the little bit that I've played with it. But yeah, Google Podcasts for iOS. So if you have an iPhone, iPod Touch, or an iPad, you can now get into the Google universe of podcasts. And they updated it quite a bit over the Android applet thing that they had going before. And so, yeah, so far so good. I've been experimenting with it.
So I haven't loaded it yet, but what was kind of funny was is they did not do their user agent really well. They just call it podcast. And there's other user agents out there that use the word podcast, specifically Apple Podcast. The only difference is the only way we're going to be able to tell them apart is that Apple Podcast has the ability, well, they put a version number beyond their, and Google Podcast doesn't. So Angelo was grumbling about this morning. And so Google Podcast, if you're listening, come on now, get your user agent squared away in that iOS app.
Yeah, we'll be able to track it. It's just going to be a little harder for Angelo to get that in our stats properly.
They got to write some new rules of some sort to basically parse it correctly and separate it from Apple Podcast stuff. So anyway, it is what it is. But at the same time, Android, Google Podcast has a redesign as well, and it looks a lot like the Google Podcast app, right?
Oh, yeah. That between the iOS and the Android app, they're about the same. As of yesterday, I didn't have the Android version of it, but I am still looking for that. It's kind of rolling out slowly. So a lot of people have reported they've seen it, but from all reports I've seen, it's pretty much the same as the iOS one.
Right. One thing that's been rolled out is something called the Unexpected Joy Project. This is a podcast that features you or anyone that can record a snippet that they'll feature in a podcast. And basically, they're talking about what joy, instead of what negative stuff, but what joy you've experienced lately during COVID-19. So I think this is a project that's well worth it. It's be over there and say, this is, I've got to spend more time with my kids, or whatever joy you're finding from this situation. So we can they can spread a little cheer from the project. So I'm looking forward to hearing those episodes come out on the Unexpected Joy Podcast.
Yeah, they have it right on that page. We'll have a link in the show notes, but there's a recorder right there. You just hit start recording, and if you have a microphone, you record, you know, what's good. And you know, one of the things I've noticed is, you know, with us here at Blueberry, is I get to see everybody actually more than I did normally. So I guess that would be my little unexpected joy.
Well, that's nice. So if you're watching live today, make sure you leave us a comment or two. We will try to respond to you throughout the show. Hey, Mike, you know, I just noticed here, Since we're doing, you know, while we're doing this live, and of course the audience is listening, it looks like you've got some construction going on in the background. What are you doing there in your studio?
Well, you know, before I had just a blanket hung up behind me, and it kind of looks silly on video. So I ordered some acoustic panels, but I didn't order enough of them. So I've got about 2/3 of them up behind me, and looks okay.
I think you get that other side of the wall done, and then the brick will be hid.
Yeah, you know, that's being in a basement here, you know, you got to deal with bricks, and everything's real echoey if I don't have something on the walls here.
It sounds pretty good, though. But anyway, Podcast Movement has shared their plan to handle coronavirus. What are they saying?
Basically, they're playing it by ear. So far, they're planning it as, you know, as scheduled. And we'll see, because it's off in August. So hopefully by then things will straighten out. But the one good thing about it is their corporate headquarters is right there in Dallas. So they can, you know, keep an eye on how things are going, and they'll have, you know, future announcements. But as of right now, it's going on as planned. They do have a way to, you know, reserve your ticket without paying the full price right away. I think you give a deposit, and then, you know, if they do end up canceling or moving it to a different date, they'll make the proper arrangements for that.
Awesome. So anyway, we are today on our Blueberry Podcasting page, our Blueberry Podcasting group. And actually this thing is simulcasting on my personal account too, which is kind of weird. I thought I had them separated, but anyway, next thing up in our list of stuff, and of course our listeners don't care because they're not here live with us, is talk about some best practices. And we're going to come out next week, I think, with a article on some statistics of what we're seeing in the space. But what's the main point here, Mike, on this best practice?
The whole idea is that, you know, people, what I said is, they keep making content during this whole event with COVID-19 because, you know, people are stuck at home, and you have the chance of gaining more listeners, or, you know, people are always looking for something to listen to or watch, you know, if you're doing video or whatever. And, you know, just keep going. It, you know, just like we always say about the holidays, you know, keep going through the holidays, keep going through this, you know, consider it like the holidays as far as, you know, people being more apt to listen to something. You know, if you're working from home and you're, you know, working on something where you don't need silence, you're going to be listening to something. And Right. Why not give them your podcast to listen to?
And I think too, is it's one of those things, like I've been watching the different podcasting groups, and really everyone is saying double down. This is the time to go. And very few people are throttling back. And I think that's an important part here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like with me, you know, I'm the king of inconsistency on my own podcast, but I've found that I've actually podcasted more now that we've been, you know, kept from, going out to dinner and going to meetings and conferences and whatnot. And it just, you know, I've got, you know, more content that comes up in my head, and I listen to a lot more content. You know, I've subscribed to podcasts that I wouldn't have otherwise. So, you know, keep yours out there. You know, there's ways to record and, you know, put out more content. And, you know, just, you know, don't take your foot off the gas, I guess is the right way to put it.
And that probably leads into the news section here, is that we're looking to gather more data and stats during COVID-19. We want to know from you, before we release this article next week, what you're seeing. So there's a poll that we have set up on the Blueberry Podcasting group and also on the Blueberry Podcasting page. I know that's confusion. There's two different areas, but you can participate in that poll and tell us that you're seeing your numbers are up, the same, or they're down. We would expect sports shows to be down because there's no sports going on. So I think that is a given, but let us know on that poll what is happening here. Another thing too, if you're having challenges recording right now, you know, we've got a team for that. You want to talk a little bit about that, Mike?
Yeah, well, two things. We did a demo yesterday, and there's a blog post and a link to that on how to record using Skype or Zoom. And also the Blueberry Pro Production team they offer remote recording options, and they've got some pretty good deals on, you know, these a la carte, I guess she said, that that they do over there. So if you don't have access to your studio and you need to do a remote recording, Blueberry Pro Production will help you out with that. And of course, you can go look at our demo video we did yesterday on how to do it via Skype and Zoom. And, you know, we'll keep you going.
Yeah, so the Blueberry Pro team can be found at blueberrypro.com. Let's talk a little bit about an event coming up. You know, everything is going virtual. I've gotten a whole bunch of requests for virtual conferences. Some of those virtual conferences are requesting, like, incredibly high sponsorship numbers. It was just blew me away. You know, some of the numbers. I'm thinking when we're at a conference and an event, everyone is going to all the sessions. They're, you know, they're seeing the vendors. But when you have a virtual event, people come in, they leave. Maybe they'll schedule for an hour when they want to listen to a specific topic. But this coming weekend, March 28th and 29th, there is the Indy Podcast Virtual Conference put on by Joe Pardo. So the Indy Podcast Virtual Conference is going to be on. Blueberry is a sponsor, as just part of a disclaimer there. At this event, I did apply to speak and got approved before we sponsored, so there was no play to pay to play.
Right.
But we wanted to support Joe in this event, so we're one of the key sponsors over there for the event. Hope that you'll tune in. 2 days of content. They've got a lot. He's got a lot on the menu. Yeah. And I hope that, you know, this weekend is your board and maybe you can learn a little bit about podcasting on a variety of topics. Joe does a good job of vetting the variety of different podcasters that are presenting, and it's not going to turn into this big pitch session. That's the main thing. We only support events where there's education happening and no pitching. Matter of fact, if we do hear about pitching, we have, you know, words with the vendor to let them know that someone was pitching. We don't like to pitch. We like to educate. So the Indy Podcast Virtual Conference is going on this weekend, March 28th and 29th. So hope that you'll schedule that out. Link to that will be in the show notes.
Yeah, and you're scheduled at 5:05 Eastern on Saturday for your session.
5 Eastern, 2:05 Pacific. So 5:05 Eastern. Yep. And give a presentation I've been giving for the last couple of months. Talks about RSS in the modern era of podcasting. So some of you may have seen it, but it's changed a little bit. But if you haven't seen that presentation before, it's typically a good overview of what's happening in the space. So let's go ahead and move into the interview. And we'll go ahead and play the interview from Michael Herron of Mikey Pod. And he's a longtime podcaster. So with some insights here from someone that's been in the podcasting space a long time. Hey everyone, I want to welcome Michael Herron to the Podcast Insider. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you as well because you're one of the OG. You're back, you know, as we're talking here. I didn't realize it, but you've been doing your show since 05, July of 05. You've been about the time Apple kicked it up.
Yeah. I've been doing it for a long time. Not as consistently as I might have hoped, but it's still going strong.
So why don't you give the audience, everyone, a little 411 on your show, Mikey Pod?
Sure. So I started it in 2005, like you just said, just as a way to talk to activists and artists in Houston, where I lived at the time. And so I interviewed different artists and activists I knew that were making work that had to do with changing the world or the way they saw the world. And I've been doing it ever since. There was a while in there that I was playing PodSafe music for a couple of years. And now I've gone back to doing interviews. And it also tells the story of my own activism and artist work as a performer and composer and all the different kind of stuff that I do.
So started in 05 and you said that you're on your 289th episode. So it sounds like you had some breaks in there at some point.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's it's funny, like one of the things that was sort of tricky for me that I didn't get until recently was that I could use the podcast as a way to build like attention for my own work as an artist and a performer. So there were some times in there that I decided to focus on one over the other. But over the last couple of years, I've decided to try to weave them together. And it's working pretty well to build like a community of artists who've been on my show who do work like I do. Mm-hmm. And also kind of bringing their fans into my world, too. So it's working as a marketing thing for myself as well as bringing attention to other people's work. So it's kind of cool. It's nice. It feels like it's building a little bit of a community around independent artists who don't get as much attention.
So what do you call an activist artist? What is really that definition?
It's interesting you ask that because I kind of redefine it as I go, because like I just had the guy who his name is Seth Tibbett. He founded the company Tofurky. I just had him on the podcast because he wrote a book and I was like, okay, he's an artist now. I'm going to have him on the show. So it's anyone that is creating something. So I've had podcasters too. I do solo multimedia, like performance art, storytelling kind of stuff. So people like that, musicians, all who have some part of their work that they're trying to like, put forth a message, I guess.
So going back to 05, what was the genesis moment for you to say, maybe I should do podcasting?
You probably Madge Weinstein, Yeast Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was friends with Madge, aka Richard Bluestein, on LiveJournal. Like, I love these old school references. For a couple of years before podcasting started. And he started telling me I should start a podcast. And I was a little like, oh, I don't know, like the thing people go through, especially back then, it was just like, what? But I don't have anything to say. What's it going to be about? Like all those kind of fears. And I started listening to other podcasts. And I literally heard a guy do a podcast about how he was sorting his laundry. Like, and I was like, I could be at least that interesting. So I started doing it. And I did. My first show was a Sound Sing tour at Miller Outdoor Theater in Houston, where the Houston Symphony was doing a concert for 4th of July. So it was just me walking around carrying a recorder, talking to a friend, my roommate at the time, just about the music we were hearing and just different stuff. So it was fun. Like back then, like, there were no rules at all. I mean, I don't feel like there are rules now, but then it was like, let me try this. Like, yeah. You could just do whatever you wanted.
You know, you said two things there, you know, sightseeing. Or not sightseeing. What did you call it?
Sound seeing.
Yeah, sound seeing. We haven't heard any of those in a while. Sound seeing was big. And for the audience that don't know what that is, it was just people that were like you, Michael, going around and talking about stuff they were seeing. And almost like virtual tours in essence. And of course, this was at the time when bandwidth was still at a premium, really kind of across the board, unless you were connected to the internet via a computer. But and then Madge, oh my gosh, if anyone was an activist artist, that was Madge.
Yeah, and she's still going strong with her podcast.
Yeah. And for those of you that haven't ever listened to Madge Weinstein's show, a.k.a. Richard Thumenthal, is it Blumenthal or what is his last name?
Bluestein.
Bluestein. Oh, my God. Yeah. So totally destroyed that. She probably would not have appreciated the last name reference I just said. But anyway, Madge's been around the space a long time, too. My God, I got to see if I can get her on the show. I think that, you being in those early years and doing stuff really kind of gave you appreciation for where we were and really kind of where we're at in the space now. So how has the show evolved really over going on now 16 years?
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's 15.
It's exciting to say that number. And also makes me feel like a little old, not going to lie. It's the thing that's been interesting is that, and especially in the early years of doing the podcast, it sort of gave me an excuse to evolve my own life in a way. You know, I lived in Houston when I started it, And after a year or so, I mean, I was kind of getting tired with my teaching job in Houston. And I was, at the time, I thought I was getting really old, but I was like 35, 36. And I decided with a friend of mine, Chris Daly, another old school podcaster. Did you ever run across him? He did a show called Writing with the Window Down.
That name is familiar, you know, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So he and I had this whole plan. This is going to sound like a better story than it is, to quit our jobs, get an RV, and just drive around the country podcasting everything we saw.
Yeah.
So I quit my job. and then it fell through. Like we didn't get funding, but I had always wanted to move to New York. So I used that. I went and I spent a few months at a commune in Georgia called Koinonia, which is where Habitat for Humanity started. And I sort of podcasted my experience there and its history, and then moved to New York. And, you know, like there were certain things that even though like I didn't have a big audience, that it was even I still felt like, well, this is worth something to like mm-hmm. go like it. I didn't feel like I was enough by myself to go and be live on this commune, but to have the podcast, I was like, oh, a podcast while I'm there. That's why I'm doing this. And, you know, so I moved to New York and kind of went back and forth between keeping the show going and trying to find my own way as a performer. And ultimately the two came together. So the show itself evolved in that way as well. You know, especially earlier on, I don't do as much sort of personal journaling. Is that what they call that genre of podcasts?
Sure.
Yeah. So I did a lot more of that than I do now. Now it's more about the interviews. It's been like my path as a human being has sort of been all over the place, and the podcast has gone with me.
You know, you talk about the episodes that you probably created while we were in the commune. I am thinking to myself, man, I need to go back and listen to those because I am sure there are some stories there.
Oh, it was a trip. There, I went dumpster diving for the first time when I lived there. I talked to this guy, Millard Fuller, who founded Habitat for Humanity, and he's passed away now, but I had a two-part episode with my interview with him, just telling the story of how he came to do it. He was a really wealthy lawyer, and his wife left him because he was devoting too much of his time to his work. Mm-hmm. He tracked her down, and they decided to turn their lives over to God and give away all their money. And they went and lived at this commune that I was then at. So
wow.
He was, yeah. So, and Habitat for Humanity came out of that. It's actually a really interesting story. But that's the thing that's really cool about the podcast. Now there's like a history of this guy that didn't exist before. You know, in my own, told in my way, perhaps fallible, imperfect, but still his story that he's telling.
You know, and just to think you captured that at the time, really, when it was happening. So that, you know, history has a way. And even I heard something the other day, someone was saying something. I'm thinking back, is that right? Is the dates right? And I have a kind of a running diary of some of the stuff that happened in podcasting. And I went back and I'm like, nope, they got the year wrong by 1 year. You know, so history has a way of, you know how a story grows. It's like caught a fish. It was 12 inches long. And 10 years later, it's, you know, it's a 3-foot ginormous fish, you know, so stories change over the years. So it's almost like we have this ability now to go back and reset if we want to and go back and listen to this history and get the ground truth where sometimes history tries to be rewritten. And I think that's a good thing in podcasting is we have these stories like you've done with them. And if you think about Habitat for Humanity, they're huge, you
yeah.
know, and was he the actual true founder of Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah. So he, I think it was in the 60s that he went to this commune with his wife. They were trying to find a place to I love that we're talking about history. I'm like, I think it was in the 60s, but I'll go back and listen to my podcast.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
But he and his wife were looking for a place to stay. And he always told the story that he got invited to go to this place, Koinonia. It's in Americus, Georgia. And they kind of joked that it's just a bunch of weird hippies there. We're just going to go for lunch and then go on our way. And they wound up just staying from that lunch on. There was a guy named, I should remember this guy's name. The guy that founded this commune. Anyway, he became Millard's mentor. And the two of them started, it's sort of a complicated story, but they needed to sell parts of the property, and they decided to sell it in a way that became Habitat for Humanity, helping people build houses who couldn't, mostly people of color who lived in the surrounding area,
right,
who couldn't buy houses from anyone else. So they started the prototypes, and all those prototype houses are still on either side of the commune. And then the organization built from there.
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. So, you know, going back then, I always like to ask, you know, what has the show done for your audience, the people that have listened to your audience? What kind of feedback? Because you've had this diverse fed artists, your kind of your life history, you know, your life story of your transition from teacher from to commune to going to New York and refining your art and all this stuff. How has the audience that's been with, do you have audience with you from 05 that are with you today?
Yeah, I think I have a handful of people. There are, I love that I can name them by name. There's a guy named John who, like, from the get-go, like, he's followed my podcast. He lives in Houston, and like, and he's a supporter on my Patreon page now. And, you know, I think that's a question I really should ask him. Like, it's interesting, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like I think in terms of sharing artists and sharing information that I like, and I think are important. So I guess that's working.
Yeah. 'Cause
people like him are still listening. And, yeah, so I think that's what I give to my artists, like interesting stories and artists, and I guess my own sort of path. I think people find that interesting and maybe motivating to see, you know, if I'm throwing myself into a commune for 4 months with no money, like if there was a lot going on, like I moved with barely any income, you know, like if I can do that, maybe they can do some other thing that they were thinking about doing.
Right.
I think that might be a part of what people like about it.
You know, I think to my own show, I've probably got a handful that are around since 04. Maybe one or two that were there at episode one. But, you know, to me, I'm like, why are you still here after 50, you know, this long? Are you really, love the show that much? And I'm glad that they do, but sometimes I'm amazed. And I've also found people have come and went. People leave the show for a couple of years and they come back.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the podcasters that are listening to this today that are starting a show and they're maybe into year one or year two, you know, just keep that in mind. People are going to leave because, to be honest with you, they're sick of you. And then they're going to come back in a couple of years because they want to know what you're up to. It kind of works that way a little bit. I think people's lives change too and their priorities, but different stages, people have different needs and they come back. So from your standpoint, then, I guess, what kind of feedback do you get back from what kind of feedback do you get from your audience?
I barely get any feedback, to be perfectly honest. I have a pretty small audience to begin with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just random, every now and then I get a thing. Like, there's a guy that just recently sent me a message asking the best way to download all of my episodes because he wanted to listen to all of them. Which is a exciting moment. This is a thing, like, I'm glad you're asking me these questions. So I'm like, wait a minute, what do these people like about my show? And how do I tell other people that they'll like it too? You know, because this guy liked it enough to go back and listen to all 200 some odd episodes. And he's been checking in with me like, oh, I just listened to such and such episode. It's so good. Like, talking about details about it, which is super, it's super flattering. But that's a good question to ask. This is where I think I can use work as a marketing person, marketing myself anyway.
Yeah, but, and I'm amazed even when people go back. So I listened to episode 82 that you did, and I'm like, I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, let alone what happened in episode 82. So,
and you have thousands of episodes.
Yeah,
right?
I'm at 1430. So
wow,
yeah, it's crazy. So. From your standpoint, then, you know, what, you know, I often say I do the podcast for myself. And, mm-hmm. and as long as I'm having fun and the audience is having fun and as long as I enjoy doing it, I'm going to continue to do it. What are you getting out of it? Because it's obvious you're interviewing cool people.
Yeah. You know, like it's one of those things. One of the things that's great about it is it gives me a reason to talk to other artists who I'm interested in their work. And I want to see how they did what they did, because I have, like, I make this sort of unusual type of performance work where I do electronic music and storytelling and videos, and there's just a lot of different things that I do that there's not anyone I can look at and say, oh, I'll just follow the path that this guy did. But I can find artists that are doing something similar, or they're succeeding in one part of what I do, and send them an email, say, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? And then I can pick their brain and find out what they did. So there's that. And then I'm finding a community that's kind of building around the guests on my show, who, you know, there's a woman who was a guest on my show who now I've collaborated with. I performed in her show. She performs in this regular performance I do here in New York. And we're working on a recording together. They're just a lot of people like that are slowly helping me build just sort of a, maybe, I don't know if co-op is the right word, but a little cluster of artists in New York City who are doing unusual things, and we're helping each other be seen. So that a lot of that is coming out of the podcast, like people I never would have connected with before, who I now and working with and sharing, and we're lifting each other up. So that's been a surprising benefit of doing the podcast.
You know, I think though it kind of makes sense, because you, when you're doing an interview, you're having a rapport, you're having a discussion, and there'll be a tendency, whether you figure out right off the bat, oh, this person's cool or this person sucks, you're going to kind of know that, you know, and then it's almost like doing a job interview to each other. And at the same time, you're kind of thinking, wow, I'd like to know more about what this person is doing, or maybe work with them. So I think it's kind of a natural thing that happens. You know, I find a lot of conversations I've had over the years, and of course I do a completely different genre of the show, but I end up finding partners, and I find people that I collaborate with on a, you know, they send me gear, and it's all kinds of stuff like that happens because of these discussions. So I think for you, what I'm really hearing here is that the show's opened up opportunities for you that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah. And kind of what you're saying too, I think people who independently create things like your podcast, my podcast, and all the various type of artists that I talk to, and the different people like the smaller companies or big companies that are collaborating with you, we're all excited to see another person that's just doing it, you know, mm-hmm. on our own. I think that's great. It makes me feel less separate somehow. You know, like if I interview someone who I think, oh, there's no way this person would be in my podcast, and they are, they say they want to do it, and then I talk to them, I realize like, oh, this is just another human being, not like some unattainable, like, different type of person. I don't know how to explain that.
Well, I think we find out that they have the same challenges, insecurities, and, you know, maybe they're at a different stage, but some, you know, they probably walk the same path almost to a certain extent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what's cool from that too, is that you can almost get some intuition of what's coming, or maybe I should change something. You get all this invaluable advice. And I see this again and again, podcasters that are listening to, are doing interviews with people, and they're finding this ground of commonality, and they're, you know, it gives them ideas and inspiration. And I think a lot of us do podcasts for ourselves. We love our audiences, but we're doing this because we want to improve our lives. And I think that's what this space is really all about, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like I feel like that really fits. Like I'm doing it for myself to grow and learn about the different types of people that I have on the show. But I think that's what's so appealing. And I like podcasts like that too, where you hear a person who is just trying to explore and be, you know, genuinely curious and interested in another person, or, you know, whatever their topic is. I really like, I seek out shows that are less produced, you know, like less quote unquote polished, because I really want that real feeling of like sharing with someone where you feel like you know them from listening to their show.
Yeah, often now when I do interviews, people, so I'm going to send you over a list of questions. And I'm also like, well, if you're doing a list of questions, what's going to make my episode different than the episode you did, you know, a week ago with someone else? Let's leave the questions. I don't want to see the questions. Let's have a conversation. And it's just like today, we just, you know, we talked just a little bit about your history. But I, you know, I really wanted to, I don't do a lot of prep for this show either. And even though we have someone post-produce this, the context is left in place. You know, they're not going out cutting out words and removing segments of an interview. And I was pretty persistent about that to keep things here as raw as possible. But I think at the same time, everyone now is so focused on this high production value. To be honest with you, it drives me a little crazy. And it is needed in some genres for sure, but nothing better than a raw interview where, you know, the dog's barking in the background or something.
Yeah, I'm right on board with those. You know, I appreciate some of those more highly polished podcasts, but they always feel like a radio show that's being podcasted more to me. And it's funny that it makes me feel like get off my lawn. You know, like back in my day, we podcasted with a little crappy recorder walking around the city. But you know, like there's something about that I really like. And I guess I have like a nostalgia for that, which is kind of cool that podcasting has been around long enough to feel nostalgic about.
You know, I'm doing this presentation right now. It's called RSS in the Modern Era. And there's a couple of slides in there that are, well, pretty graphic. I have some explicatives in there that is, you know, back in the day, we were really kind of middle fingering the man. We really were. Mm-hmm. Listening, we were all kind of a bit of a rebel, and we had freedoms that people don't even and cannot even appreciate today. If you think about that time frame, if you wanted on a major platform, you had to, you know, you had to sign a contract, and you had to have a huge audience and small voices and, you know, not small voices, but minority voices and people of color and, you know, all these groups did not have a way to really get their message out. And for me, that was one of the exciting things about this space. Recently, I was in and I've told this two or three times, I don't know if I've told it on the show or not, but I was at a event at Dragon Con, and I was sitting in the back of the room kind of listening to this group talk about, it was a people, women, men of color meeting, and they were talking about a protest they had recently. And the news truck rolls up, and they, you know, there's some guy standing on this, you know, sidelines, not even participating in the protest. And they go talk to him to find out what's going on with the protest instead of talking to the leaders of their protest. And they were so pissed that they started their own podcast so they could make sure they got their message out of what they were doing. And, you know, that is where we bypass mainstream media and can have a voice. And it gives people a voice that didn't have a voice. And I think, for me, that's one of the most amazing things about the entire podcasting space, that maybe in the beginning, I didn't realize what was going to happen, but I do now.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a huge part of, I think, why I keep going too, because there are a lot of voices that are not being heard, and there's so many incredible people in the world who need to be heard, at least in my opinion. So,
I think so too. And oftentimes there's groups that may be doing stuff on the fringe that mm-hmm. the mainstream media, or they'll just kind of like put the hand out, you know, they're like, oh, we're not going to talk to them. It's not going to be good for ratings. But at the same point, they have a voice, they're pissed off, or there's something going on, and they deserve to be heard. And this kind of medium today, YouTube and all the other mediums that are out there, gives people the ability now to publish and, you know, double finger the man, say, you can't restrain us from sharing what we want to be shared.
Yeah.
And it is the thing about the space that I don't want us to ever lose. And with you talking to activist artists, it sounds like you're talking a little bit on the fringe as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting to. It's something about, and I hope this isn't too hokey, like thinking about so many people being quarantined and, you know, everything that's going on right now with the coronavirus, it's kind of taken me back to that place of like, oh, if I'm stuck in my house, I can still put up a podcast. And because I self-host, as I learned from you guys, I don't have to worry about you know, I feel like it's a real independent, solid thing that I can put out into the world and share information from my, you know, whatever self-quarantine state right now. So it's really interesting.
And you don't have to worry about being devoiced. You don't have to worry about being deplatformed. You know, you've got your own website. You know, that's the thing that I continue to say again. Right now, Facebook is taking stuff down offline of opinions people have. And because maybe they got a fact a little wrong and they're trying to stop disinformation. But at the same point, I think it's good to hear as many points of view as possible on what's going on and get the ground truth of what's really happening. And I think that we all at this point in the world wear a big boy pants and we can and big girl pants and we can handle the truth. We just want to know what the truth is, right?
Yeah. And, you know, if I put up a podcast that has some wrong information, let's have that conversation too, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something we can do. I mean, there's definitely something to be said about not spreading misinformation, but the conversation I think is very important.
So the Mikey Pod, what's the website for that?
MikeyPod.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so happy to be talking to you because I mean, like, and just like I learned from you guys, there's links to all the possible places through PowerPress. So I can just say MikeyPod.com. As a podcast host, I really wish more people would do this, even artists. You know, I have to rattle off so many different things about, oh, you can find it here, you could do this. Mm-hmm. And it's so great when an artist says, here's my website, everything you need to know is right there. So thanks for teaching me that.
Yeah, and especially, you know, it's cool to have an Instagram account. It's cool to have a Twitter. It's cool to have YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff. We all have that. But sometimes you just need to, and the kind of way I term it, it's kind of stupid. It's a geek in me. I call it Moonbase Alpha. I want to send them back to Moonbase Alpha. You know, go back to go back to podcastinsider.com and then go from there. You know, that's Moonbase Alpha for me. So it is kind of a quirky thing too. But at the same point, you know, if I say something and get deplatformed off Facebook, people are going to know where to go to say, okay, what happened to Todd or what happened to Michael? Where did he go? You know, what let's go find out what happened.
Yeah. And I worked for a long time for another podcast called Our Hen House. It's an animal rights podcast. And I did their social media. And one of the things that was very frustrating was when we would have a guest and I would have to search so hard to find all their various social media links so I could promote them. You know, they wouldn't have all this stuff on their website where, you know, you could easily find it. So I think from a marketing standpoint, and if you're someone who's listening, who's a podcaster that wants to spread the word about your podcast, it's so important to make it as easy as possible for other people to be able to promote your work as well. So you got to have it all in a centralized location.
And even if you don't blog, as long as you got that central location with the data and they can go outward from there, that's the key.
Yeah, for sure.
So awesome. 289 episodes. You're almost 15 years in that. And you know, I think you're part of a real exclusive group. There's, you know, I know there's not many of us left from the 04 range, but the crowd's a little bigger in the 05 class, I guess. But, you know, there can't be more than a couple hundred podcasters still left that started in 2005.
I hope I can still claim that cred with my absence for some time periods in there, but I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, for sure. Even if you pod fade and come back a little bit later, it's still good.
I love it. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, Michael, thanks for being on and thanks for what you're doing in your space. And everyone definitely check his show out, the Mikey Pod at MikeyPod.com. I'm definitely going to go back. I'm going to listen to those commune episodes. I think those will be interesting. And also the guy that started the Habitat for Humanity or co-started it. I think those will be good ones to go back. It's always, you know, if nothing else, it gives you a perspective that you're not going to get anywhere else. Maybe they did an interview with someone, but good luck finding it.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, hey, thank you, sir. And
yeah, great to talk to you.
Yeah, good luck with your show as well.
Thanks, you as well. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we want to thank Michael for that interview. Of course, those of you that are watching live, you have to listen to the podcast to get the interview.
Yeah, over at podcastinsider.com, which will take you to the page on Blueberry where the show is posted.
Yeah. So anyway, talk about some support stuff going on here, Mike. What's going on in support?
Oh, a few things here. See, first on my list is post pages. This is specifically for WordPress. But if you're doing your podcast on WordPress, which you should be doing if you're listening to us, you should have a posts page on your site. And a lot of themes now and a lot of people like to put a static page as the landing page for your homepage. And they forget to assign a post page. And the nice thing about having the post page, whether you link to it or not, is Google picks that up. So it makes it a lot better for SEO, makes it better for Google Podcasts to pick it up quicker. And also it makes you show up in the search easier with some players for your podcast. You know, in Google search, they have it to where the last three episodes are shown in the search results when your show comes up. And this really helps with that. And I made a video on how to do that specifically rather than geeking out here and making your eyes glaze over.
Well, I think a lot of people would glaze over.
Yes, exactly. So I made the video. It's real quick. It's like 3 minutes.
Yeah, we post our post within the actual blog post page. It's just another blog post. And from an SEO standpoint, that is always, you know, probably the best way to go. Yeah. But some people just want a dedicated tab. Right. Also, should you separate your blog posts from your podcast posts? Is that under the same genre?
Yeah, same sort of thing. And I made a little quick video about that too. I was busy this morning doing a couple little screen share videos just to show people how to do it. I get that request a lot. And a lot of sites, what they do is they have their written blog posts as articles, and then they want to have their podcast posts all together on one page and keep them separate. And I, you know, my opinion is that they should be together. And I know you do that as well on your, you know, your personal podcast there. And the whole idea is that, say, your blog readers find your site and they read an article, and then the next thing in there is a podcast post with a player, and then they discover you have a podcast, and vice versa.
And that's why if you want to have a separate page, you can do that with category podcasting. It works just fine. And having a separate page, you can link on the website. So it's in all those posts are in a different tab. But anyway, we're getting too far in the weeds.
But yeah, but I got videos on both of those things in the show notes. Check them out.
All right. So also talking about we don't transcode files.
Yeah. You know, lately we've had a couple of people, you know, upload WAV files, and they thought that we turn them into MP3s for them. And that's not the case. Whatever you upload is what we deliver. WAV files you shouldn't use because they're too big and most apps don't deal with them well. So, you know, convert to MP3. Simple as that. If you're doing video, then MP4 or M4V is fine. But, you know, we don't change what you upload. M4A is a acceptable format. I don't recommend it simply because of the way Spotify handles stuff. So, you know, specifically in Blueberry, we do transcode AAC files to MP3s for Spotify, but like I said, we won't get into the details on that. But MP3 is the audio format of choice. And, you know, if you upload a MP3, we're going to deliver that MP3 just the way it is.
A lot of people are starting to see their Spotify stats in the Blueberry general stats. So Remember, we went to pass-through. So now the stats for Spotify are right in the normal Blueberry stats dashboard. So you're going to be able to get those IAB certified stats from Spotify, or basically the what's being delivered on Spotify. So kind of curious too if anyone's seen any deltas. So also talking about encoding rates, we don't get too far in the weeds here.
No, we won't. But you know, figuring out what plan you need, you can just figure out that, you know, figure that the normal stereo encode is 128 kilobits. That'll be about a minute or a megabyte per minute of audio, and then if you do it lower than that, it'll be lower than that. But then you just figure out how many times you're going to upload an episode, how long they are, all that good stuff, and you can figure out how much data you're going to need per month. And pretty soon we're going to have a calculator for that. That's coming.
Yeah, that's coming on a new website update. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. So I guess we'll roll into Sean's tip of the week.
Yeah, he continues his series on PowerPress settings, and this time it's the website tab, part two.
All right, so we'll go ahead and play that now.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. Last time, we focused on the media player options inside the PowerPress website tab. This time, we'll take a look at the tab's subscribe options. If you'd like links to different subscription options to appear under the PowerPress media player, check the box next to the subscribe links header. From there, you can customize which links will show up. Links for Apple Podcasts, subscribe on Android, and your podcast RSS feed are on by default and can't be turned off. All other links are optional, and you can add those links by checking their corresponding boxes. Note, for those links to show up, you will also need to have the appropriate URLs added to the PowerPress Destinations tab. We'll cover the Destinations tab in a future segment. The Subscribe Page section lets you create a page on your site that lists all available subscription options along with some basic information explaining how to subscribe to a podcast. By default, PowerPress refers to your subscribe page with links titled More Subscribe Options. You can change that title to whatever you'd like by entering your desired text into the Subscribe Page Link Label field. If you've already got a page like this on an external website, link to it in the Subscribe URL field. Otherwise, to create your optional subscribe page, click the Create a Subscribe Page from Template link and follow the steps from there. PowerPress lets you add an easy-to-use subscribe widget to your WordPress sidebar. Options for this feature are found in the Subscribe Widget section. As always, click the Save Changes button after you've finished making changes within the website tab. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. We'll go over more of the website tab next time. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email support@blueberry.com.
All right. Well, thanks, Sean, for continuing to put those updates together and those tips of the week. But that's going to bring us to the end of the regular podcast. We're going to hang out here in Facebook for a little bit and see if anybody has any questions. But as a reminder, all of you listening to the show later on, we're going to be live, at least for the near future,
sure,
every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on the Blueberry Podcasting Group or the Blueberry Podcasting page. You can come join us. Ask your questions after the show if you have some or you have a concern. We'll be here to answer your questions. Otherwise, if you want to be interviewed for the show to be on the Podcast Insider, all you have to do is send an email to me, Mike or Mackenzie, Todd, Mike or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. We'll be able to get you scheduled. But this is a great time to do this because we're, you know, you're stuck at home. We're stuck at home. And but don't worry, we have the skills to
and the technology
to do a remote recording. So we want you to come on in and share your story. So Mike, any final words before we switch to the live audience?
No, just stay safe, do what they tell you, and we'll get through this.
That's right. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time, next week on the Podcast Insider. Everyone take care.